the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us, as he does Tuesdays and Thursdays, from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. It's going to be, weather-wise, pleasant day here where we live in northeast Mississippi. What about you there?
Oh, it's bright, sunny skies. We've had a lot of rain, and not like you guys have had,
right.
But I'm so glad it's over. Now, has the rain passed through the deep south?
Yeah, I think so. Fred Jackson's here with us. He's not a weatherman. He's a newsman.
But I sure watched the weather.
Well, for 5 days there, we had rain every day, all day, didn't we?
About 8 to 10 inches of rain over a five-day period. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, I went to my golf course on Saturday, and the first two holes were, I had to use a boat. And I never did find my ball, you know. So, no, I'm seriously, the golf course I play at, two holes were underwater.
Underwater.
Yeah, yeah, that's how bad it was.
Some of the fields around here where you get
flooded,
soybean, you know, cotton, it was a lake.
Yeah.
It was actually looked like a lake.
Yeah, like a lake. So, we hadn't had any rain in 3 days, so. That's good for us, but I know other people in the experience the same thing throughout, especially the Mid-South and and across the a road was washed completely, a highway was washed away because of the rain.
Not just covered, but just gone.
Gone. And
Wow,
I think some people were hurt, car accidents.
Yeah, we had the tornado and our dear friends down in Columbus, Mississippi.
Yeah, near 50 miles from us, we had a pretty significant tornado Saturday. So, anyway, but it's good to be here and be doing the program, and we hope everybody is safe and sound. You, Walker, tell folks if they want to watch the show on the internet, what they need to do.
Yeah, the first way to catch up with the show is on our website, afr.net. afr.net is a website you can listen live there and catch past shows. Another way to watch the show is on our Facebook page. Just type in Today's Issues on either Facebook or YouTube, either one, and you can watch the live stream as we air it here.
Did have one young lady in her 20s who died in that tornado that hit Columbus, Mississippi on Saturday. So we don't. That was very tragic, sad. But that's the only fatality I'm aware of from the Saturday storms that swept through the South. All right, so much to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turek will be on with us at 10:15. Frank's going to talk about what's the problem with socialism. I mean, why? Sounds good. Why shouldn't we be for it? Well, Frank's going to talk about that at 10:15. What's in the news?
Well, President Trump arrived about a couple hours ago in Hanoi, Vietnam. And he's there to meet with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. And this is their second summit. Not sure what's going to become of it. The thought of a total denuclearization of North Korea, I don't think anybody expects it to go that well. But I think it's going to edge us closer to more secure relationships with North Korea. At least that's the aim coming out of this. So the president will be meeting with the North Korean leader. It's early Wednesday morning there. So they're going to have dinner Wednesday night there, their time, and then another meeting, and then there'll likely be some kind of news conference, and we'll see what comes out of it. But the president, you know, to his credit, has made advances against the dangers of North Korea that I think a lot of people didn't think would be possible, but he's done that already.
When I say Trump, Ray, and Kim together, President Trump and what's his name?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. Sorry if I have. Anyway, they look like Mutt and Jeff to me.
Yeah, they do.
Don't they?
Yeah. You know, he's done more than any president in recent memory to actually change things on the Korean Peninsula. And he came in with a businessman's negotiating kind of approach. And, you know, the critics, left and right, really have scalded him about North Korea. But we haven't seen these launches of missiles in the last year or so. And I think it's good that they're talking, better talking than launching missiles. So we'll see what comes out of Hanoi. I think probably we ought to keep our expectations low, and then we won't be disappointed. But I'm glad they're talking.
Walker, come here.
Yeah. You mean roll over?
Yeah, roll over here. I'm going to show you something here. Now, this is before my day, too. So
yeah.
I'd like you, this is when we say Mutt and Jeff, that's what we're talking about here. It was a comic strip from, I guess, the, when was it, 30s, 40s? It was a comic strip with a tall guy and a short guy.
And was it like a weekly comic strip?
Yeah, weekly. Yeah, I guess it was weekly in newspapers all over the country. So you, baby boomers, if you say Mutt and Jeff, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know that millennials don't,
right?
But I wanted you to be familiar with that.
Sure,
so.
Glad I rolled
over
there. But
when I see Kim Jong-un, short guy,
yeah,
Donald Trump, tall guy,
yeah,
Mutt and Jeff comparison,
right there. You
go. But you know what? You're right, Ray. President is doing everything he can to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, and the Kim Jong-un has not fired any more missiles.
Nope.
Since these talks began, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next story, Fred.
Well, let's go back to Washington right now, where there was a vote in the Senate last night on the S-311, which is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Now, the vote was 53 to 44, but that failed to overcome the 7 extra votes needed to move this thing forward. Now, this was... Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Remember back a few weeks ago, the governor of Virginia at that time was almost, who by the way is a physician, was justifying the putting to death of a baby who had been born, gone to completion 9 months. Also, you had the, and I'm serious, the celebration in New York State of a bill which would allow a baby to be killed just as they are about to be born. Or shortly afterwards. And so the Republicans in the Senate put together the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Every one of those 44 who voted against it were Democrats. Let's be very clear about that. Now, there were three Democrats, Casey of Pennsylvania, Jones of Alabama, and Manchin of West Virginia, who voted with the Republicans. But this, I think, is an historic vote because they were put on the record. Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska kind of put it this way. I want to ask each and every one of my colleagues whether or not we're okay with infanticide. Now, that was the question. This is what you're voting for, to kill a baby within minutes after it's born because it might be an inconvenience to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's play a little bit of that so you just hear it for yourself. Cut number one.
I want to ask each and every one of my colleagues whether or not we're okay with infanticide. This language is blunt. I recognize that, and it's too blunt for many people in this body. But frankly, that is what we're talking about here today. This bill isn't about abortion. I'm pro-life. I'm unapologetically pro-life. But this bill is not actually about anything that limits abortion. This bill doesn't have anything to do with Roe v. Wade. Every baby deserves a fighting chance, whether that 24-week-old baby fighting for air and fighting for life, having just taken her first breaths, is at an abortion clinic where she survived a botched abortion, or whether or not she's in a delivery room at the local hospital. Both of those babies are equally deserving of care, protection, and humane treatment, and our laws should treat both of these human beings as babies because they're babies, they've been born, and they're outside the womb.
There you have it. Pretty clear on what they were voting on last night, but once again, 44 Democrats voted to say no, they're okay with killing that baby.
Yeah, this bill would have provided uniform law penalty, legal penalty, should a doctor or physician or a nurse see a child alive outside of the womb after an abortion and refuse to treat it. Mm-hmm. So that's what this law would do. 44 Democrats opposed it.
Didn't President Trump tweet about this?
Oh, absolutely.
This morning, because I think he said it would go down in history, something to that effect, as Do you know what I'm talking about, Walker?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the statement right now.
I think the president said this will go down.
President Trump put out a tweet this morning, or late last night, said Senate Democrats just voted against legislation to prevent the killing of newborn infant children. The Democrat position on abortion is now so extreme that they don't mind executing babies after birth. This will be remembered as one of the most shocking votes in the history of Congress. If there is one thing we should all agree on, it's protecting the lives of innocent babies.
Hmm. This said President Trump this morning in a tweet or last night?
Last night.
By the way, go to One News Now. We have posted the roll call on this vote. So if you want to see how your senator voted, go there to onenewsnow.com, click on the link there, and you will get the roll call.
Yeah.
Basically how your senator voted.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Dr. Frank Turek joins us most Tuesdays to discuss various and sundry issues and try to look at things from a biblical worldview perspective, and he joins us now. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's hard to believe people could vote for infanticide, isn't it?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on why this? How has this party, this Democrat Party, why do they do this? Why do they vote this way?
I think that many of them are at the end of Romans 1, Tim. I mean, if you read Romans chapter 1, where Paul starts out by saying we suppress the truth and unrighteousness to go our own way. In other words, we want to worship the creation rather than the creator. It leads to futile thinking, depravity. Ultimately, by the time you get to the end of Romans chapter 1, you're not only doing evil things, you're cheering on other people who are doing evil things. And that was no better illustrated than the celebration that went on in the New York State House a few weeks ago when they basically said you can kill your child up to the second the child's coming out of the birth canal. And they were celebrating this. Years ago, there used to be something that, like, say, President Clinton used to say, well, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, right? They don't even say that anymore. Now they're celebrating it. Of course, why would it need to be rare if there's nothing wrong with it? Why would it need to be rare? Well, basically, that's what Democrats are saying now. There's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Let's just celebrate it. Mm. And as you know, Tim, there's two religions in America now. You're either worshiping the creator or you're worshiping the creation. And right now, people worshiping the creation, the center of their religion, it appears to me anyway, is the religion of sex. Anything related to sex can't in any way be hindered by any law. That's where we are now.
Let's talk about socialism, because that's been in the news a lot because of what's happening in Venezuela. And because in the U.S., you have... Again, the Democrats are touting it as some of them will reject the notion that we're categorizing it as socialism, although Bernie Sanders is a Democrat socialist. He's an independent, but he's proudly a socialist. So first of all, tell us what socialism is, and then take it from there.
Well, the goal of socialism is to have everybody make the same amount of money. So it's just to redistribute the wealth. And if that were attempted to be done, who would you need to do that? You would need some sort of central government to decide who has too much and who has too little and try and equalize the amount of money that everyone has. So what socialism tends to do is it tends to create dictators and despotic, tyrannical governments that get involved in every area of your life, where they're deciding who actually makes what. Now, there's so many things wrong with this, Tim, as you know. One of the things wrong with it is the fact that socialism, it just doesn't work because it's built on a false view of human nature. Socialism depends on people working as much as they can and taking as little as they need, but human nature is to work as little as we need and to take as much as we can. This is why welfare can be such a problem, because it makes people dependent rather than helps them to become independent. Because if you just give people, say, a living wage without even working now. This is what AOC, whatever her name is, Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez. I called her Castro the other day on the podcast, on the radio program. I forgot her name was Cortez, not Castro. Mm. She's actually saying that we ought to give people money that aren't even willing to work. Mm. Well, that's a disaster. I mean, human nature is to work as little as we need to take as much as we can. If you give people the incentive not to work, many people are going to take it. And so it's just built on a false view of human nature. That's,
you know,
didn't
we first try this with William Bradford?
Yeah, we did. That's very well said, Tim. I forgot about William Bradford, the Pilgrims.
I just remember that story that they came over here. The Pilgrims did. Came over William Bradford, and they were going to have a communal sharing of all the food and resources. I'm paraphrasing now the story, and then William Bradford and the leaders there figured out, hey, we got some freeloaders here.
Yeah, we got a free rider problem.
Yeah, we got people wanting to get by on other people's work and just sit around because we're all going to the same, storage house for the. And then they decided we're going to ditch this. Everybody gets their own plot of land. You can make your own food in your own garden. And that's what you get. Basically, that's what happened there. And when also with Ray, you want to jump in here because. The Bible.
Yeah, Frank, say something to us about the difference between socialism and, say, free market capitalism, because you gave it to us on one side. So talk to us. What's the alternative? When we talk about free market capitalism, what are we talking about?
We're saying that you have the right to work and keep the fruits of your labor. And when that happens, people take risks. People get motivated. Mm. When you don't have that ability in a place like, say, Venezuela or the former Soviet Union, then people don't work and people aren't motivated and everybody suffers for that. The way to increase the financial ability of everyone, to pull people out of poverty, is not to redistribute wealth. The way to do that is to increase wealth, and that is to give people the incentive to go out and take risks and work hard to create, because there's not a fixed pie. The pie continues to expand. That's what's been going on in this country for the past few years. The pie is expanding because people are creating more wealth. And so free market capitalism gives you the opportunity to actually be motivated enough to go out there and create wealth and keep some of the fruits of your labor. Now, obviously, you have to contribute some to the government because there are things like roads and defense and those things that everyone needs to pay for. But you have the ability to go do that. And by the way, there's been articles recently, I was just looking at one of them on the Fox News channel, by Cal Thomas today. Cal Thomas has a column which basically says, why is Florida booming and New York in debt? In fact, Florida has a $1.4 billion surplus to their budget, and they don't even have an income tax. Now, why is that? Mm-hmm. Because people are fleeing New York, they're going to Florida because there's no income tax down there, and they have a very positive business climate down there, which enables more people to work, more people to create wealth, which is why the government has a surplus of income, whereas New York is in a deficit.
Talking to Dr. Frank Turek. Hey, tell us about your ministry, where people can find out more information, and what's coming up this weekend on your show.
Yeah, crossexamine.org is our ministry, and the next program will be on Saturday. And I don't know what we're going to talk about there, Tim, but it's going to be supremely interesting. Let me just say that.
Okay? Whatever it is.
I'm not quite there yet, but we're going to talk about it this Saturday.
Are you doing any more campus events where you go and debate?
In fact, I got one Thursday night that people can see. It's a college up in Ohio, and they can watch it streaming on our Facebook page and also on our website, crossexamine.org. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if they go there, they can watch it. We're doing I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And then next week we'll be at the University of South Carolina on Thursday night doing I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And then coming
up. So what
up
do
on
you
the
do
18th,
when you go? Do you go to some kind of public forum and invite all the students to attend? How does that
Everybody can attend. Yeah, it is it's in a campus theater or in a campus classroom. Okay. Big auditorium of some kind. So anybody can attend. We get people obviously from the university coming. We get people from the community coming. It's always free. And it's all on our website.
Do you ever have hecklers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes it fun. Yeah, we have protests, too. I was just at Winthrop University, and the LGBTQ folks tried to boycott me, which is always good because it actually attracts more attention to the event, and I had to bring in extra chairs.
They'd have never known you were there.
That's right.
Had they not protested it.
So, and look, I love all those LGBT people. I have nothing against them. Right. I want them to come to the event.
Right.
Now, if they disagree with me, that's fine. It's a free country. We can disagree with one another, but we're going to treat each other with respect.
Amen.
So anyone can come. Anyone can ask a question.
Go to Frank's website, crossexamined.org, if you want to watch. He live streams those I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist debates. And are they debates or just discussions? Or
well, they can turn into be debates when people ask questions.
Gotcha.
Right.
All right. Take care, Frank. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, great being with you guys again. God bless.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, our friends in the United Methodist Church, about 800 of them are meeting in St. Louis. That meeting started on the weekend. And what we're waiting for today is a final vote on a proposal which would back the biblical stance in the United Methodist Church that homosexuality is incompatible with Scripture. Now, their Book of Discipline, the denomination's Book of Discipline, says that. But we all know, if you've been following the news over the last 10 years or plus, there has been a rebellion inside the United Methodist Church, which basically adds up to a rebellion against the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. We've had homosexual clergy, homosexual marriages going on, which, again, are not allowed according to the official teaching of the United Methodist Church, the Book of Discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a preliminary vote last night on maintaining a scriptural stance, but there is a final vote on that today. So what some people are saying is that this will divide the sheep from the goats. I guess we can put it that way. There is a proposal on the table also that those who disagree with whoever the final vote is, those congregations, one of the things being discussed, can leave the denomination with their property. Now, we've seen this similar debates in the Episcopal Church USA, Evangelical Lutheran Church. When a church decides to stick with God's word, the denomination says to them, fine, get out of our building. Mm-hmm. You have to leave without it. There have been court cases about this. So this is where we are with the United Methodist Church, this meeting in St. Louis, as I say, about 800 delegates, people from all the United Methodists from all over the world. And it's interesting, some of the bishops from the continent of Africa are the more conservative ones in this, and the more liberal ones are coming from the American United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fred, you want to make any prediction how the vote's going to go today? Are there enough conservatives to hold the line biblically?
I think at the end of the day, what's being called the traditional plan will win, but by a fairly narrow margin.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a large contingent within the United Methodist Church that wants to leave the authority of Scripture and embrace homosexuality.
Mm. Well, that denomination, which I grew up in, by the way, is, I think it's going to split either way. Mm-hmm. But I think I just texted one of my colleagues here to find out what's happening there today in St. Louis at this conference that they're having too. And the conference that they're having is solely, as I understand it, to decide this issue.
Yes.
And hopefully, once and for all, to decide this issue one way or another, because they've been dealing with this now for 20, 25 years. It's cost the United Methodist Church a lot of members wavering on Scripture as has to do with homosexuality. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III of the Hamilton Corner.
I tell you all the time that there are no superfluous details included in Scripture, but the Lord does include these details for our edification, for our learning, for our growth, for our sanctification.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A transgender controversy embroils Connecticut sports. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Two male athletes who identify as females won first and second place at the high school track and field championships in Connecticut. The young men who identify as women defeated a field of girls who are biological girls. Connecticut is one of 17 states that allows transgender high school athletes to compete without restrictions. That means no hormone blockers. Critics say that puts biological girls at a disadvantage. They say it's not about gender identity, it's about testosterone. Connecticut sports officials say they have to follow anti-discrimination laws, and those laws state a student must be treated by the gender with which they identify. But the bigger question is whether Connecticut's anti-discrimination laws discriminate against biological females. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred and Ray. We were talking before the break. There is a big conference of, I say big, there's 800 to 1,000 people in St. Louis, Missouri, representing the United Methodist denomination, and they're there from all over the world, and they're deciding what to do about the Bible and homosexuality. Basically, and we're, you know, I know a lot of you listening who are not United Methodist and or you're not never been a member of a denomination. You go, well, what's the big deal? Just leave, huh? It's not that easy for a lot. Okay, Ray, you understand this? It's not.
Well,
that,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, first,
comment on
you
that.
Got the whole question of. Who's going to take the building, right? I mean, Fred alluded to that earlier. There have been these court cases where conservative Methodist churches wanted out, and the denomination said, fine, but we keep the property, and we keep, you know, after the church has raised maybe millions of dollars over many, many years and built beautiful sanctuaries, they say, you can go, but we get to keep everything. That's one problem. The other thing is, if you're inside the Methodist church, and let's say you come from a godly Methodist heritage,
right,
generations of faithfulness, it's hard to leave at that point because you don't want to give up the fight that easily. But, Tim, I think in the end, you can't have darkness and light walking together side by side and pretending they're all in the same spiritual family.
Right.
In the end, one side or the other has got to go.
I agree with you, and I think that's probably what's going to happen here. You're right. That is a great way to put it. You can't, darkness and light cannot coexist.
Right. One's got to win out.
Right, spiritually. And what I mean, too, and Ray just alluded to it. Now, I left the United Methodist Church, or the church that I grew up in, and my dad was a pastor in for many years. I left 25 years ago or so because even at that time, I was not, I was more conservative, and the denomination was going tilting liberal. And so, there are a lot of people who did remain and have remained in the United Methodist Church who are, as Ray says, they're godly people. They believe in the Scripture. That's why they're fighting for the Scripture. And so it's just hard for a lot of people if they've been in a particular local church. That's how most people identify. They don't really identify necessarily first and foremost as a Southern Baptist or as a United Methodist or as a Presbyterian. They identify with their home church, right? So if you've been in a church and it's been your family church forever and you've been faithful to the Word of God, and then you got you're fighting these outside forces that are coming against the denomination you're affiliated with, and there are positives and maybe some negatives to being a part of a denomination. For the most part, I think overall in our history it's been a positive thing to be affiliated with like-minded churches to accomplish gospel endeavors. It pains you emotionally to think, I'm going to leave my church that I grew up in, or my mom and dad helped, and I haven't done anything to disobey the Lord or the Bible, and yet I've got to choose between leaving and staying. That's an emotional trauma for a lot of people. So it's easy if you've never been a part of that just to say, oh, just leave.
Sure.
You know, that's not, as I say, it's just not that easy for a lot of folks. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We want to welcome to our program Nate Kellum. Nate is founder and president of Center for Religious Expression, and they're based out of Memphis, Tennessee, and he's in studio with us today. Nate, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. It's good to be with you, Tim.
Did I get it right?
Everything you did. Right? Everything so okay. far.
So far. Like a lawyer talk. So far, Tim, you're good, but I'm watching you. You have been, you worked for us here at American Family Association when we had a law center which did First Amendment constitutional freedom of religion work for several years, and then went off to work for Alliance Defending Freedom.
That's right.
And then started your own group, right?
Yeah, I started Center for Religious Expression 6 years ago. And it's really just amazing what has happened in the culture just in a short 6 years. Where when we started, I mean, there was definitely a need. And that's why we started CRE. And the need that we saw at the time is that, and it's something I referred to earlier when I was talking to you, Tim, about what we were doing, is we were basically representing Christians who were sticking their necks out. I mean, these are folks who are active. They wanted mm-hmm. to make a change in the culture. And so they were going in front of abortion clinics and trying to tell people about ultrasounds. They were trying to evangelize. They were trying to share the gospel, hand out Bibles. And they were running into problems. And so we were the first call for them. And so we're trying to help people like that, folks who really wanted to be in the public square and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we've seen over the years is that in addition to that, that need is still there, very much there. And that is the freedom of Christian speech, but also the freedom of Christian conscience. Just the ability to maintain a job, be able to be a Christian business owner.
That used to be a given. That used to be understood. I mean, that's sure. America, right? That's our First Amendment. That's what we were founded on. And yet now we see the culture is, and the law, the governments are trying to come in and force Christians to conform to a particular ideology or belief. And that's a real war waging right now, isn't it?
It is, Tim, and you see in a lot of different respects. Of course, several years ago, we talked about how the government's trying to encroach on AFA because you're talking yeah. about making you get health insurance mm. in which you would have to pay for abortifacient. You're a Christian ministry.
Right.
Part of your mission, you refer to your life-affirming belief in that doctrine, and yet they're trying to force you to be something that you're not, and that's what yeah. many people are running into.
Give us your website.
Sure, it's CRELaw.org.
And, okay, you had a your most high-profile case, I guess, maybe in a while, was the one representing Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us what happened there.
That was a very similar type situation that we're talking about, where you have the government basically trying to exclude Christian or Christian groups away from the table. That's a situation, if you're familiar with the Creation Museum, recently something that's been built is this amazing theme park called Ark Encounter, which is it's a exact replica, or at least as far as biblical dimensions, replica of Noah's Ark. And it's really an incredible site. It's very educational, it's informative, and it's a great thing. And if you haven't been there, I highly recommend you go out there and check it out. But before that it could even get started, they were trying to raise capital for it. And the way to do that, or at least one of the ways, and the reason why they were building it in Kentucky, because they had options actually, Tim, to build it in Ohio or Indiana, and had some attractive offers to do that. But Kentucky said, hey, no, we want you to build it here, and we have a tourism incentive program that we want you to participate in, which was really very much advantageous, because it allowed them on a sales tax rebate to get money back. And in fact, it was really crucial for their second phase to be able to get that revenue. And so they said, okay, we'll build it in Kentucky. And the governor had a press conference and said, this is the greatest thing, because it promises to be the biggest tourist attraction in Kentucky. And it has proven to be the case. And so they were
That's
all
saying
for
a lot, because yeah. There are a lot of wonderful places to visit in the state of Kentucky that attract vacationers and tourists every year. And so Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis wanted to build this Ark Encounter, is what they call it.
Right.
And so the state of Kentucky said, hey, as they do for a lot of businesses and places like this, you're going to bring people to our state for years and years to come. A lot of business brought to the state of Kentucky because of this. So we're going to give you an incentive to build here, as you say, competing against Indiana and Ohio.
Right.
So what happened along the way here?
And so that only makes sense, right, that they would
sure.
do that. Except after that press conference, Strident Atheist Group, and there's actually several of them out there, they found out about it. And they didn't like what they were hearing. And so they contacted the governor and said, oh, no, you can't do that. And the governor changed his tune. He turned
not,
to, he turned
the
to 180.
Governor, right?
It's not the current one. It was a governor before who okay. was a Democrat, and he the atheist had his
So he
ear.
Reneged?
He reneged. He sure did. He said, well, I know I said that, but as it turns out, we figure that Noah's Ark is just too religious.
So
and that was the ground.
So what happened then? Did Ken Ham contact you?
He did contact us, and so we represented, and we actually tried to work with the governor's staff, because we were hopeful that once they saw the law, that they would understand, well, you can't do that. You can't, because it was open to the aquarium, it was open to the theme park, it was open to these bourbon distilleries, it was open to anything that could even
sure,
remotely qualify as a tourism attraction,
right.
That could qualify, but they're saying, no, you couldn't qualify because you're too religious. And so we're hopeful that we'd be able to resolve that through discussion, but we had several discussions and really couldn't get anywhere. So we filed a lawsuit, and the judge agreed that, no, you can't do that. You cannot exclude a Christian organization purely because it's Christian.
Was that a federal judge or a state judge?
It's a federal judge.
Mm. A federal judge.
It was.
Well, isn't often we win. So
no, so that was a real blessing, and it was a great victory. And actually, it could have ended up being perhaps even a Supreme Court victory, except for, in God's providence, you did have a change in governor. Mm. Because they had actually planned to appeal it to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, but when they had a change of governor, he took a look at it and said, no, we're not going to do that.
What atheist group was this? Do you remember?
Sure, it was a...
don't tell me it was the Freedom From Religion people.
Oh, it was. It was.
They're out doing the ACLU today. They're just everywhere.
They are everywhere.
How many of them are there?
There are, you know, it's just like...
Seven?
It's like a small group in Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison.
And yet they are everywhere, and they do it through these.
They're like moles.
You think they've left?
It's whack a mole. You know, you hit them down one place, and they pop up three others.
They
here's the thing that ironically about this situation with with American Humanist Association, with the Freedom from Religion people. They're coming after Christians like this case. You know, something I would consider benign or innocuous. I mean, Ken Ham in Answers in Genesis wants to build a tourist attraction. What do you, you know, as long as it's legal, what do you care whether they believe in Genesis or not? If you're the state of Kentucky, they're drawing millions of dollars into your economy. And the state of Kentucky recognizes this. But they get one letter from the Freedom of Religion people. Freedom from Religion?
It is Freedom from Religion.
And the governor's office there, the former governor, the Democrats, start shaking in their boots. Like, oh, my word, we violated the Constitution. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be sued. And the other irony here is that the Freedom from Religion group is atheist, right?
They are.
Okay, if you're an atheist, why do you care whether people want to go visit an ark that's built on superstition or something that it's like visiting Christmas Village or something because people are visiting something that's a fantasy? So I don't know why that bothers atheists so much who don't even believe in God.
Yeah. I think their core, they know there's a God. Otherwise, they wouldn't resist them. They won't say that. But, Nate, I wanted to ask you one question about along the same lines. You know, a lot of these left-wing groups win on just intimidation letters. I mean, they have no legal standing. They just send an intimidating letter with a fancy signature at the bottom, and then these school districts, churches, et cetera, fold. Would you say that that's a lot of the, quote, losses on our side is ones that aren't even fought?
Oh, I think so. I think the legal term that I learned in law school is the nasty lawyer letter. Because that's what it is. And it's really nothing more than that. Because if you read it, they don't even have that much case law that they sign.
Right.
But what they do say is, we're going to sue you. Now, sometimes they do follow up with a threat. Oftentimes they do not because they really don't have a legal leg to stand on. Mm-hmm. But they are so effective. They are so effective with those letters. Like with a lot of cities and towns, it may make more sense because they have limited resources. But you would think the Commonwealth of Kentucky would say, well, let's see if you really have a legal case here, when they didn't.
So you won.
We did.
Thankfully, we're talking to Nate Kellum, and Nate is chief counsel for the Center for Religious Expression. They're based in Memphis, Tennessee. They do work across the country, though. And he's talking about a case that they won in defending Ken Ham and the Answers in Genesis and the Ark Encounter. And Nate, where to find out more information about your organization?
I invite you to check out our website at CreLaw, CreLaw.org.
Okay, what if people have a case that they want you to take? Will you entertain that?
Yeah, that's what we do day in and day out. So definitely want to do that. Okay. If you feel like your religious freedoms are being infringed, let us know. We hear from a lot of people, and we'd love to hear from you.
But knocking down moles—that was a figure of speech by me. You don't really do moles, right?
I think there probably are some moles in front of our yard at our law office that we probably need to take care of. But no, that what we do is we try
in
to
in court,
right?
You
in
deal
court.
With you deal with the moles in court,
right? Exactly.
Okay, thank you, Nate. Appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure.
Thank you for visiting with us, Nate Kellum, there from the Center for Religious Expression. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ray, you ever had moles in your yard?
Yeah, and they're hard to get rid of, Tim. You know, what do you do? I mean, poison them? Shoot them? I don't know. It's hard. we've had them.
They keep coming back. Actually, they as far as horticulture goes, in the world of horticulture, they are
satanic.
They're a tough one to get rid of.
There they are.
Yeah. Well, I, Allison, my wife, we put out these
traps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that work sometimes, but sometimes they go the opposite direction. I don't know. Anyway, we won't belabor that point. I don't know why God made them.
There are some animals like that. You wonder.
That you wonder why God made them,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
What
I guess we won't know. Serve? It's a mystery.
I say the same thing about mosquitoes.
Why God made them?
Yeah. What are they?
Yeah.
Doing?
I don't know. Maybe they're part of the fall. You know? What do you think? You think God made some animals that were meant to be show how sin affects the animal kingdom?
Yeah, read Genesis.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, we'll let Ray ask God.
Okay.
That's right.
See what,
Ray,
see what
kind of hints
Ray, Ray, you ask him.
And we'll just stand by and watch.
What was the
I'm asking for AFR. We want to know about moles and mosquitoes, Lord.
Sounds like a country song. Lord, my moles and mosquitoes, Lord, what did I do with them? You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues, on American Family Radio. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. What's the next story? Hey, by the way, before we get to the next story that you have, Fred, I was looking at the news, and it says that Los Angeles has the coldest February in 60 years. Did you see this? The global warm, I'm global telling warm. You.
It's out of control.
Al Gore cannot catch a break. Right?
Reality just LA. Keeps slapping
That's
them
right.
in the face.
Reality hits.
Sunshine City, Los Angeles, is having the coldest weather in 60 years.
Yep.
And we're supposed to have global warming. And there may be global warming. It's hot as blazes in Australia right now. I don't believe in man-made global warming. If there's global warming, there's global warming. But I don't think that it's man-caused. But it's just funny to me. That's like, besides New York City, is there any more liberal place in the country besides Los Angeles? Maybe Chicago could qualify for that. And they're having the coldest February.
Snowed in Las Vegas last week.
In 60 years. It did?
Snowed in Las Vegas, yeah.
What were the odds on that? Oh, I'm good. I just thought of that, just like that. It just came to me.
Okay.
All right, what do you got, Fred?
All right. We're well aware that the 2020 presidential election campaign is underway. Already, a number of the Democrat hopefuls have promised people the world.
I got a song for him, Fred.
Okay.
And then you can continue. Let's play this little tribute.
Isn't it rich?
Yeah, it is. Here are the Democrats.
Are we a pair?
Kamala Harris.
Me here at last on the ground.
Cory Booker.
You in midair.
Elizabeth Warren.
Send in the clown.
Okay. I maybe I'll stop doing that. But I just had to have a little fun with the Democratic line.
It's your Democrat
Party.
2020
line
theme
up.
Song.
There you go.
It is. Go ahead.
All right. Headline, 2020 Democratic hopefuls embrace new meaning of reparations. You mentioned Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren, mm-hmm. a couple of your favorites, obviously.
Cory Booker is another one.
Yeah. Cory Booker, Julian Castro, the former Housing and Urban Development Secretary under President Barack Obama. Anyway, they have a new idea for reparations.
For what?
Reparations.
What is that?
That would basically is a financial, I guess, for folks who say they have descended from slaves,
mm-hmm.
they would be given money by the federal government. That's
nutty.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. What? Anyway, are they really? Is this serious? Are they serious about this?
It is.
Yeah. Ray, have you heard of this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's totally serious.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what. I guess these people get up every morning going, "What kind of whacked out left wing idea can I have today that will outdo my competitors?" Walker.
Yeah. Well, I talked about this morning when I guest hosted for Sandy Rios, but. This plays right into their hand. I mean, the Democrats thrive off of division. They love to sow division and class warfare mm-hmm. against one another because that's where they see an opportunity to gain votes. And this is another example. You know, if our country goes to paying off everybody who's been a victim, we'll be paying off people into eternity. I mean, everybody's a victim of something at some point. You know, somebody may get robbed. Somebody may get fired from a job. Do we pay everybody for their victimhood? So, but this is what they thrive off of.
Well, the other thing here is, I don't think this idea is going to go anywhere. Because where do you stop with something like this, Fred? Because I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about this the other day, and he said, "Well, if we're going to hand out checks to people, because their great 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 grandparents mm-hmm. were slaves. Mm-hmm. What about the Union soldiers who fought to end slavery? Are we going to give their families reparations or something, pay them up? Because they gave their lives to mm-hmm. to end slavery.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So where does all this
Well, there is no end stop. To it. And also, if you were to start down that road, then there are people who have slightly brown skin.
Right.
You know,
do they get half of the amount of money?
There's no end to this.
That's why it's nutty. It's a nutty idea.
I've been saying, I hope these Democrat presidents just keep talking. Kamala, just keep talking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got the Green New Plan out there that would cost Americans millions of jobs and trillions of dollars in taxpayers' dollars. Medicare for all.
Yeah. Right.
Free tuition.
Are they going to, the Democrat, I listed those. I don't think any of those that I listed can beat President Trump.
No, they can't. And I was just thinking about what's behind this. They are terrified about losing their base of support in the African-American community because under President Trump, black unemployment is at an all-time low, right? So you've got people inside their own community, that is the African-American community, who are taking a new look at the Republican Party for the first time maybe ever. And if the Democrats lose that base of support, there's no way they can win in 2020. So they throw out some crazy idea like reparations, hoping to keep their base intact. I think as long as the unemployment rate stays low, I don't think that's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and also there was a poll the other day that showed that President Trump had picked up support in the Hispanic community.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, the reason that both the Hispanic and the black community are President Trump's numbers are increasing is not only the unemployment, but President Trump's fight against illegal immigration benefits legal Latinos in this country.
Yes.
Because the Hispanics here who are working, who legally immigrated, they are fed up just as we are with illegal immigration because those illegal immigrants are taking their jobs and lowering their wages.
Really?
So that's why President Trump's, not only is the unemployment going down in those communities, but they're also liking President Trump's America First, tax cuts, law and order.
It's got to be very frustrating for people on the left because, you know, they can't yell any more than they do every day. Xenophobe, homophobe, racist, bigot, Nazi, and they do it every. That's what they call President Trump that every single day, all day. And after a while, you go, you know, you got something else.
Sure. And one other story. I have a friend locally that traveled to New Mexico to meet with farmers, the co-op there in New Mexico, and meet with farmers and business owners. And one thing he said, they went to the border of New Mexico with New Mexico and Mexico, the border there. And he said the farmers there are furious at illegal immigration, and they want the wall so bad because those illegal immigrants are trashing their farms and they're also taking their jobs. And these are Hispanics in New Mexico.
Yes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, thank you so much.
Always great to be here.
Talk about your news division here. Where do people need to go?
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com. Go there, get these stories and many more from a Christian perspective, folks.
Yeah.
Stay informed from a Christian perspective, OneNewsNow.com.
OneNewsNow.com. Please go there, folks. Check it out and get their daily news brief. They do a great job, and we want to make that available to as many people as possible and let people know about it. Okay, Ray and Walker and yours truly, we shall return in 5 minutes after the news, and Steve Jordahl will be with us. So a lot more to talk about. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.